We've got new home sales, fraud in the Medicaid system, and submarines. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Housing has been one of the bright spots in the U.S. economic recovery. Existing home sales are strong, prices are up, mortgages are cheap, and bidding wars are once again commonplace in many markets. The Commerce Department reported this morning that sales of new homes rose in April by more than 16%. From Oregon Public Broadcasting, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
Americans are now buying about 500,000 new homes a year, less than half as many as during the housing boom. Lawrence Yun is chief economist at the National Association of Realtors.
The home builders have been very slow in getting the construction online, and it is grossly inadequate.
Inadequate to meet demand, especially from young families facing high rents and looking to purchase their first home on a limited budget. Yun says it's harder than ever for builders to get cheap land and building permits for big developments on the suburban outskirts.
So the builders have tilted over to more expensive homes, catering to more high-income households.
The average new home cost a record $360,000 last year. Last year, we hit another milestone, says economist Kristen Reynolds at IHS.
The largest share of new households choosing homeownership since 2007.
She calls that at least a glimmer of hope for the market. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
State and federal health officials are failing to conduct criminal background checks on thousands of so-called high-risk health providers who contract with Medicaid. That's one finding from a series of reports released this morning by the Office of the Inspector General at the Department of Health and Human Services. Joining us to talk about this is Marketplace's healthcare reporter Dan Gorenstein. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Amy.
So walk us through this. What is a high-risk provider and why the need for criminal background checks?
Well, look, most of us never think about this, but in reality, both Medicare and in this case, Medicaid are targeted by fraudsters. It could be doctors falsifying bills or home health workers claiming to provide care that was never given, even ambulance companies. Last year, OIG returned more than $2 billion to state and federal governments from fraud investigations and banned about 4,000 people for criminal activity.
And what does the Inspector General say Medicaid should be doing to prevent this kind of behavior?
Well, under Obamacare, states were asked to conduct more rigorous background checks, especially for high-risk providers. That's home health workers and durable medical equipment suppliers. Assistant Inspector General Ann Maxwell told me they've found approximately 25,000 of these providers have enrolled in Medicaid without getting fingerprinted and doing criminal background checks.
What we are saying is there is fraud in the system. We have tools designed to protect this program from that fraud, and we're not using those tools.
You've got to remember, Amy, once you've okayed a provider, that provider can start billing. And if you're running some fraudulent scheme, it's now on the feds to track you down. That's a lot more expensive than doing the proper screening in the first place.
So, Dan, there's going to be a hearing about this on the Hill later today. Where do we go from there?
The OIG has 20 recommendations, and an important one is that the federal health officials help state Medicaid offices get these criminal background checks up and running.
All right. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Amy.
The U.S. Navy recently picked a shipyard in Connecticut to build 12 new submarines in what could be a $100 billion project. That should secure the future of General Dynamics Electric Boatyard for the next couple of decades. But as Harriet Jones reports, hiring thousands of workers presents a few challenges.
Take your measurement more than once. Take it twice.
After hours at a technical high school in Groton, Connecticut, a small class of men and women gathers around instructor Robert Morelli to prepare for a hands-on measuring test.
Well, I shouldn't have told you all this stuff. You should have figured it out yourself, right?
For decades, Groton was the company town of submarine maker Electric Boat. But after the end of the Cold War, shipbuilding declined, and the two largest casinos in the world, Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun, were built nearby. Blue-collar work shifted from welding and machining to bartending and table game dealing. Now the casinos are struggling in the shipyard is hiring. But there's a hitch, according to Electric Boat principal engineer Pat Larkin.
What we're finding when we go to interview people is that we're not getting the basic skills required to enter into the manufacturing field.
He says from math competency to handling tools, applicants no longer have what it takes. A new training course was needed, bringing together local colleges and the shipyard to create an effective, tailored curriculum.
You know, I won't say that in those meetings that there wasn't a little glass being broken and maybe feelings being hurt temporarily.
That's John Beauregard from the local Workforce Investment Board, who's implementing a $6 million federal grant to create several different courses.
We really got a long way to designing exactly what both parties needed.
29-year-old Jason Barnwell used to work at the casinos in maintenance. Now he's learning one end of a boat from the other.
I don't want to become a machinist, but I will move up the chain, get my experience in the trade, and then advance through the company.
Robert Morelli, the instructor, worked at Electric Boat for more than 30 years. He jumped at the chance to pass on his knowledge.
And I told all those students that, you know, you guys are very fortunate. EB is going to build up right now. They're going to go back to the numbers I worked with, 18,000 people in that shipyard. That's a blessing for you and your future.
And there seem to be plenty who realize it. In the first 6 weeks it was advertised, this course attracted 600 applicants. In Groton, I'm Harriet Jones for Marketplace.
And some news for fans of muscle cars. The 2016 Ford Mustang, Chevrolet Camaro, and Dodge Challenger all failed to get the top safety award from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. The Challenger fared the worst, missing the highest ratings for the strength of its roof, seats, and headrest. The Mustang and the Challenger both scored lower on a test that simulates crashing into a pole at 40 miles per hour. Drive carefully out there. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.